rock and my redeemer. Amen. I can tell you faithfully, it's a long way to walk from a little place called Tokomaru Bay in New Zealand to a mass. It's a long way to come from Tokomaru Bay in New Zealand to a place called Mandurah. You've never known, never even knew existed. But to take a call from the Lord, given to you by your Archbishop, as being where you need to be placed for ministry, is no easy feat. And I'd like to think that in the last year, many, if not most of you, have committed yourself to being a part of this flock here, and that you recognize me as the shepherd and my voice, and you trust in me, and you follow me, because I walk beside Christ. It disappoints me and distresses me that we might have sheep and wolves clothing amongst us, taking opportunity when the shepherd's not here to say things and do things, believing it's right to do that or say that. Thank you for the faithful who come to be fed by the word and by the Holy Communion and by fellowship. I honestly feel privileged and blessed that this Māori woman with 7 children and 2 grandchildren was deemed good enough by the Lord to come here and leave that all the way back there in that little space to come and do this, because his people needed a leader who could change how they were at that time, broken, beaten, and bring some hope back into this place of new, of fresh. And for those who have trusted that calling placed on me, I thank you sincerely and with love. It's a lonely journey when you put a collar on, but I've never been alone in this journey I embarked on 4 years ago. Just last week, my daughter had to go into court to fight for the custody of my 2 grandchildren because she'd been a victim of domestic violence and her ex has not long come out of prison wanting to have access to his children. Do you know how hard that is to be so far away in the need of your child and grandchildren? When you want to cast aspersions and mislead people in who I am, you remember it's me standing here, but I represent a whole culture and a whole family who don't live here. And that's my sacrifice to do this calling God has placed on my heart. And I don't give that freely, because love is so precious to me. So be strong. When those things come to you, be strong in the faith I know you all have. And trust in who God has placed here as being the right person for your season on where you are in your faith. Many of you would have heard these readings today many a times in your life. Today, they may have sounded something different to you because you're not the same person who heard it the first time many years ago. Life is a journey. It is not a destination. We never know who's going to be on our journey with us. every interaction I heard in our reading today, every interaction or in our prayers today, is a God moment. And we need to seize those, not pass judgment on them. They're not ours to judge. We need to seize them. So let's take a bit of a wander, as those two disciples did with Christ, and remind ourselves why we listen to the call of God to come and be in this place. Out of all the places we could be in, here in Manger, he's called us here. And we are all blessed to be alongside each other, being Christ-like, being God-given, and being Spirit-led, as he's called us to be. The Christian faith has been likened to a journey, and the road to Emmaus is one of the most famous journeys described in the Bible. When we make a journey, we like to be well prepared. I came here for 3 years, limited luggage. I had one of those sort of like a boot box like you have on a ute or something to put all your tools in, a big black one, and a couple of suitcases, because I had limited luggage available on Air New Zealand. There weren't very many flights. It was the end of COVID. So being prepared, you had to make sure you were bringing exactly what you needed. So often these days on a road trip, we rely on GPS, global positioning system, or satellite navigation in our vehicle to get us where we want to go. But we do it at our own peril. How often have we heard of satellite navigation directing people through fields and even bodies of water? It just goes to show that when you make a journey, you have to be confident in the things in which you put your trust in. The following is a very famous poem, and many of you will have all heard it before, but it illustrates perfectly the point about preparing for a journey with regard to the journey of our lives. It reads, "I said to the man who stood at the gate of the ear, 'Give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown.' And he replied, 'Go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be better than light and safer than a known way.' So I went forth, and finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the night." M. Louise Haskins, 1875 to 1957. In our gospel reading this morning, read by Reverend Gielan, the two disciples were on a journey. One was Cleopas. Who was the other? Perhaps it was Luke, the author of the gospel. Some suggest that because Luke seems to know the details very intimately, it possibly was. It had been a horrific week for the two men. The road from Jerusalem to Emmaus is about 7 miles, about a 2-hour walk. As they walked down the road, they struggled to understand what had happened. Jesus, on whom they had placed all their hopes, was dead. The Messiah had been killed, crucified on a cross. The light of the world had been extinguished. As they walked along the road, they bumped into a man who engaged them in conversation and asked them why they are so sad. Yet they didn't recognize that it was Jesus with them. They told him that Jesus, who they had hoped would deliver Israel, was dead. The man replied by explaining to them that all of this was in God's plan. Couldn't they understand? He said that the scriptures pointed to a suffering Messiah and not to Superman. And still, they did not recognize Jesus with them. When they reached Emmaus, they invited the man to have supper with them. It was only when he took the bread, broke it, and blessed it, they recognized him. Jesus, the risen Lord. Now, have you ever wondered why the disciples couldn't recognize him? Luke tells us the answer. A supernatural force was at work. God was at work. These two travelers were in the presence of Jesus, but were none the wiser. Luke tells us that they were kept from recognizing him. Another translation of the Bible reads, their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And yet another translation says, their eyes were restrained. These two travelers were in the presence of Jesus, but were none the wiser. Sometimes God is at work and we don't recognize him at work in our lives. How many of us can testify to that? It's not till in reflection that we go, God was there. In that moment, you're doing it, hoping he's there. Not until it's all done and you've come through whatever it is that you reflect back and go, yes, God had his hand in that. God was there in that time. Look at what the disciples said as they reflected on their walk to Emmaus. Did not our hearts glow within us while he was talking to us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? It wasn't Jesus' intellectual explanation that had meant much to them. It was his very presence that warmed their hearts. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, was 35 years old, just a couple of years younger than I am, when he experienced a similar encounter with God. It was his conversion experience that happened on the evening of 24th of May, 1738. Wesley had gone, very unwillingly, to a non-conformist meeting in London. He was, after all, as we know, an Anglican vicar. At the meeting, someone began to read Martin Luther's preface to the Epistle to the Romans. Let me read to you what Wesley himself wrote about the transformation that occurred as he listened to Luther's preface. About a quarter before nine, while he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone, for salvation. An assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. Taken from the journal of John Wesley. Wesley says, strangely warmed. Those disciples said, did not our hearts glow? When we meet the risen God, we know we have done so, even if we can't describe what is going on. The two disciples were journeying on the road to Emmaus. They were confused and did not know what was going on. They were looking for a light to guide them. Jesus met them on the road, but this only had any meaning to them when he was revealed to them. Instead of finding a light to guide them, they were able to put their hand into the hand of God himself, the hand of Jesus, the risen Christ. And you may recall that in probably the most famous post-resurrection experience of Jesus, Jesus asked who? Thomas. Quite literally, to put his hand into Jesus' hands. In conclusion, let it be our prayer this morning that God, our Heavenly Father, will reveal Jesus to us as we come together in the breaking of bread in his name, so we too can recognize his presence in our lives and put our hands into the hand of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.